In just a moment, we'll turn our thoughts to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. But by the way, let me say thank you for being here tonight. This is an excellent group of brethren who have gathered. And some could not be here. Some told me on the way out this morning they're going out of town and will not be here. And I'm very, very grateful that you're here tonight. Some of you may have changed plans because of it being the Lord's table, and you made a phone call and said, I can't come quite as quickly. I need to be at church tonight or whatever, but I believe that's pleasing to the Lord. You have interrupted your plans, or you have designed your plans to be here to glorify the very Son of God. And it's very much like in the tabernacle, as they would light the altar of incense, and that aroma would rise. And it was in a way typical of the prayers of God's people. Also, the Holy Spirit is typical of the Holy Spirit, and just a number of different things. But a sweet savor, no doubt, has arisen by the word spoken tonight, as well as the word set to music tonight as well. Just before we get to Mark, though, a passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians that we need to be aware of. And especially if we come and there's something between us and another, something between whatever it is, that the Word of God makes certain. No one can say that I'm with excuse, because it's written in God's infallible Word about the cautions that God makes about partaking of these elements, the unleavened bread that's symbolic of the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine, which is symbolic of the blood of Christ. Obviously, it's not His blood. We don't believe in what's called transubstantiation, as some believe, that when you take it in, it's not really blood and flesh until you take it in. And once you take it in, a miracle occurs, and they call it a sacrament, which means the giving of grace. And so a miracle occurs, and it becomes the literal blood and body of Christ. We do not believe that. We believe it is just like He did there with His disciples. And He said, this is My body, but He was still there. This is My blood, and He is still there. And so it was symbolic, and we do that in like fashion even to this day. But in the first century, in the city of Corinth, in a church that started out just in love with God, but somewhere along the way, they began to have divisions, and they had different things, you know that, and they had some real problems in the church. But one of the most significant was dealing with what we're doing here tonight. So let me just refresh your memory, and especially to refresh mine as well. The Bible says this: when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating everyone, now what they did in the first century, like we have dinner on the grounds, and I've mentioned this before, I'm sure you're aware of it long before I mentioned it, but nonetheless, they would have what was called love feast, agape feasts. We would call them dinner on the grounds, generally speaking, today. As they would get together and they would pool their meals, their whatever they had to eat, and this family would bring and that family, and they would come together. And so he's referring here to where they were mixing the Lord's table with these love feasts. So here's the commentary that he gives. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? In other words, if they didn't bring anything, they didn't have anything to bring, you're shaming them. What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? No, I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me, not the love feast. After the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the death. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Now here's the caution. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Now there we go. There's where the cautionary words come in. We know we're not right, or we're doing it for the wrong reasons. Shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And we would call that heresy. So we have to be careful. But let a man examine himself. That's what we do every time we come to this table. As the vine is introduced to you, or the unleavened bread, you'll notice that Miss Gretchen is back on the organ and is about to play the organ, not on the organ, but she's about to play as it's being distributed. What that does is it gives kind of a quiet, with an organ kind of in the background, an opportunity for you to examine yourself. More importantly, I think it's good to go to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, if there's anything between you and me, if there's anything between me and a brother or sister in Christ, if there's any way that I have wronged my neighbor, whatever it is, Lord, if you shine the light of conviction on my heart, I won't run from it, Lord. I will run to it and say, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. I'll get that right. Now, it may be somebody is here tonight and you need to go and say, sweetheart, if it's a spouse or friend, if it's a friend, you may need to go to them and just say, I have wronged you and I am so sorry. Please forgive me. And if you do that, then you are now capable of taking it worthily. But don't do it otherwise. If it's someone away from here, then I would suggest you do like I have had to do. I've had to wait and get something right with someone else and then come back later the next time we had it. Embarrassing? Yes. But better to be embarrassed among friends and loved ones and folks in the church than to stand before the Lord or to be chastened by the Lord. Is that amen or not? Amen. Yeah, that's true. And so I don't know that anyone in here needs to do that. But as a preacher, I need to make certain that I remind myself so that I don't do this out of habit and because, well, that's what I'm paid to do. No, it's not. This is our opportunity to come before the Lord as a congregation to make sure this ministry is going exactly the direction wants it to go. Because if we're right with God and right with each other, God's going to bless. Amen? Oh, looking forward to that. So that's what he says. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, here we go, a strong word, damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what does he mean by damnation? Or he means destruction. Verse 30 gives the commentary. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And so we certainly want to have a congregation of those with the blessing of God upon them. All right. Now, with that in mind, let's turn in the Bible. If you want to turn with me, we'll go to the Gospel of Mark in chapter number 14. Mark chapter 14. And I'll ask our gentlemen if they will come and we will prepare for the distribution of the elements tonight. So if you'll come, please, gentlemen. This is Mark 14, and we're going to begin in verse number 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. For the Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, talking about the prophecies. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them. In just a moment, I'm going to ask our gentlemen to distribute the unleavened bread. And I should have done this just a little bit ago, but I didn't think about it. I'd forgotten about it. But those of you who are seated maybe a little ways away from the inner aisle, could I get you to kind of scoot towards the inner aisle? That way as our gentlemen pass the elements, they won't have to go halfway down an aisle and then make their way back. And it'll be more expeditious to be able to just do it in that fashion. Thank you. Thank you. And if you're close to the aisle, you're fine. And if there's a number of people on that aisle, then that's fine. You can just pass it down the aisle and then pass it back and that'll be fine. All right. So as we go to the Lord concerning the fruit of the vine, and especially in this occasion, the unleavened bread symbolic of the Lord's body, I'm going to ask Brother Jesse, would you word our prayer for us, please?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we meet together in a very sober moment. We attempt to do that each time, but giving special attention to this time, a memorial around your body and your blood, but at this moment, thinking about the body that was representing the God of heaven here on this earth. The Lord was created for a reason. It was indwelt. It was manifested. Mm-hmm. It went through tremendous criticism, false witness,
right.
Physical abuse. The Lord, it was all for the culmination of a sacrifice that
yes.
You willingly made. Thank you for that. And we don't have the power to bless anything in our lives.
That's right.
We ask you to bless
Amen.
This memorial time, and especially as we take of this broken bread. Lord, is prepared. We think of the unleavened nature of being sin-free and no elements whatsoever of representing that which you came to wipe away.
Mm-hmm.
Pray that you bless it. Pray that you be honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. The biblical record advises, and he gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll ask our gentlemen to come once again as we prepare for the distribution of the fruit of the vine. The scriptures advise, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. Brother Moss, would you word our prayer for us, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we dedicate this service, Lord, to you.
Yes.
Father, in remembrance yes. of what you did for us on the cross.
Yes.
How you suffered the beatings and, Father, just the shedding of the blood for our sins, Lord. Father, we're grateful, Lord, that we have eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. And, Father, we ask now that you bless this juice, Lord.
Yes.
As it represents the blood of your Son.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. returning once again to the Word of God, he says, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. Praise the Lord. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, or a new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And he says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We'll do that here in just a little bit. But I trust that tonight there's been that singular focus on the love of Christ, the love of God, the sweet Holy Spirit who convicts of sin. As Jesus said, when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I'm so glad that when Randy and when your name is out of sorts with God, attitude, action, ambition, whatever it is, that the Holy Spirit reminds me and he reminds you. And let's never allow pride or anything else get in the way of that and be used of God some way every day.